Daf is Daf Samech Dalet. So we got to the last 6-7 lines of Samech Gimel Amud Beis. Gemara says Yosef Rav Nachman Ve'ula Vavima Bar Papi. They were sitting. Ve'Yosef Rabbi Chia Bar Ami Gabayu, and he was sitting next to them. Interesting. Tosos here points out Dibur Masal Ve'Yosef Rav Chia Bar Abba Bar Ami rather Gabayu. Rabbeinu Tam Hay Medaktik Shebechal Makum Shehu Omer Ve'Yosef Ploni Gabayu. Whenever it says a certain Rav would sit next to the other people, Maskir Kain, they mention this Lafishu Ahore Lahem Davar Chiddush. The teaching has a certain Chiddush. You can read the rest of the Tosos if you like. But that's the nature of what's going on here when you have this structure of people sitting down. So the Gemara explains how Vyasri, they're sitting down, and he asked the following question. Scharu lishpor v'yai nesach mahu. Let's say a person's been hired to break yai nesach, to destroy yai nesach. What's the halacha? Is that considered getting hana from yai nesach? Or since it's in the act of destroying, maybe that's something that we would permit. So the Gemara explains the suffix. Mi aminan, do we say, Kevin derotza b'kiuma aser? Since he wants to keep the yai nesach available, wants to keep it intact, until he breaks it. He wants to be Mekayim the Shviras Yai Nesach. But so right now he wants it intact for the next 15 minutes. That's Rotza Bikuma. So maybe it should be Aser. Eldum or perhaps Kol Limute Tifla Shapir Dami. Whenever the intention, whenever the goal is to destroy, to get rid of Yai Nesach, even though it's going to remain around a little bit of time, that would in fact be permitted. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Nachman, Yishpor v'tavola bracha. He should break it. In other words, he should accept the money. He can accept the money, and he could hold on to it. It's not considered rotza bikuma, since again, his end goal is to destroy it and to get rid of it. The Gemara now says, last two lines of the Amud here, Lema Mesaile, maybe the following could be a support for the idea that even though a person is rotza bikuma, if his end goal is to destroy it, then we're allowed to have it kept. So what's the raya? So the Gemara says, "Ein odun im ha'ovdei kochavim bekalayim." So Rashi explains, "Ein odun" means "ein chofrim." Look, the Gemara's in Ma'ariv Katan talks that odun is a type of digging or burrowing they would do around the trees. So Lach is not allowed to be odun im ovdei kochavim with klayim. So what's klayim have to do with ovdei kochavim? So if you look at Tosus, the two Tosus to look at here, we're not going to look into them in great depth, but look at the Tosus Dir Maschel Ein Odrin, the first one, the two of them, the earlier one. So Tosus writes, Ein Odrin im Ahov de Kochavim Kalayim, Harav Rabbeinu Chananel Dachak Lavi Rayos. He tried very hard to bring proofs. De Kalayim V'arla Nogin Bishal Ov de Kochavim. He felt that even the Goyim are subject to the Isurim of Arla and Kalayim. Now, if you look in the Sugis and Sanhedrin, we don't find that to be the case when it comes to Kalayim as Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. There is an opinion, I think, that does mention Kalayim, and maybe one of Kalayim, Kerem maybe is one opinion, but Tosus says, V'kulan Duchuyo, saying all the proofs he brings are easily rejectable, and we don't assume that way. We don't assume that Goyim are Chayiv in keeping the Lachas of Arla and Kalayim. That's point one. Point two is the bottom toes that we're not going to read through. Which type of klayim are we referring to? He says, we're not referring to kili akerim, where you're mixing together grapes along with wheat. We're talking about kili zerayim, which is referring to mixing different vegetables together. And now, interesting Tosos, you could take a look there, but he makes this assumption based on the following, that kile zerayim, it does not apply in chutzlarts. The person is allowed to actually crossbreed different vegetables together. The issue of kile zerayim only applies in Eretz Yisrael. The only type of kile zerayim that apply outside if you're doing harkava. Harkava is you're grafting the branches together, but to take seeds and put them in the ground together, or they're overgrown with each other, that's actually permitted in chutzlarts. So he makes the assumption that this is talking about in Eretz Yisrael dafka and kile zerayim. So at the end of the day, the Gemara says again, Lema Mesaile, let's say the following is a proof. That again, Ein Odin im ha'ovei kochavim kalayim. You cannot plow together, you can't dig together with a non-Jew when it comes to kilayim. The Gemara says from the top of Samech Dalet, Aval okrinimo kidei lemeute es atifla. But you are allowed to be okri. You could uproot, you could tear out all the kilayim along with the guy. So Rashi explains in the top of Samech Dalet, Aval okrin lahashlichen leibud. You could uproot them to throw it out in the garbage. Afagav derotze bekumam shaliyaku me'aleim adshiyakum hu. You want to be mekayim the mitzvah, so you don't want them to fall out on their own. You want to keep it there so you have the chance to rip it out on your own. Isn't that rotze bekumam? But it's permitted since the intention is kidei lemeute es atifla. It's permitted. So here as well, we think it's permitted when it comes to destroying yai nesach. So Gemara now says, Svarua, whenever you see the word Svarua, almost always, it's an initial suggestion that's going to be eventually rejected. One example that's not true, the Gemara in Bab Basra in the first parak, when it comes to Hezekiah, Tosus points out that's an example where Svarua is not used in the typical case, but normally Svarua means it's a suggestion that's going to be ultimately rejected. So Gemara says, Svarua, Hamani, who authored this Mishnah about Kalayim, that you're allowed to help uproot the Kalayim? It must be Rabbi Akiva. The Amar Hamakayim B'Kalayim Loka. A person who keeps, who maintains, preserves Kalayim gets Malkos. We're going to get to in a second, how could that be? Don't you need a Maisa? So right now, simply reading it means if a person just preserves it, allows it to overgrow and to crossbreed with each other, one gets Malkos. What does that have to do with our case here? The Tanya HaMenachesh, one who weeds things that are ruining the growth. HaMechape, one who covers up the seeds of Kalayim. The Beklayim, these are two examples of Loka. That's the Tanakama, because that's a Maisa. Rabbi Kiva Omer Afa Mekayim, even a person who just simply preserves the Kalayim would also get an Isser, would get Malkos. My time with Rabbi Kiva, what's his reasoning? Amar Kala Pasik says, Sadcha lo tizra Kalayim. In your field, you shouldn't grow Kalayim. Ainli Ella Zareya, I only know that you shouldn't plant them together. So as a side point, they also point out Menachesh and Mechape has to also be Bechlal Zareya. Normally Mechape doesn't necessarily mean Zareya, it means covering, but there's an assumption here that that's also Bechlal Zareya. So that's why the Tanakhama thinks weeding and Mechape covering up the seeds, that's called Bechlal Zareya. Sadchalo Sizra. What about Mekayim? How do I know being Mekayim is also going to be subject to Malkos, according to Rabbi Akiva? Tamaloma, the Pasuk says, Lo Kalayim. So you have to read this drush. If you look in the Pasuk, those who have it on the side here, it says, Eschukosai Tishmaru Bemtecha Lo Sarbia Kalayim. It's referring to crossbreeding animals, but the way the Pasuk's being learned now, it also says, Kalayim Sadcha Lo. They're reading as Kalayim, even though it's part of the first half of the Pasuk, we're reading Kalayim Sadcha Lo. There shouldn't be any type of Kalayim, even without Tizra, even without planting, there shouldn't be any affiliation with Kalayim. Even being Mekayim Kalayim would be Aser, according to Rabbi Kiva. That's his drasha. So now, after presenting Rabbi Kiva, we see, now, Ilu Lemu'ute Tiflashari. You can't preserve the Kalayim, but to hold it there in order to, almanas, to destroy it, Rabbi Kiva would permit it. So Rabbi Kiva is the one who holds that being Oker, Im Ovde Kochavim, would be permitted. And before we reject this, Tosis points out here, Svarua, Hamani Rabbi Kivahi, we don't mean it's Rabbi Kiva to the exclusion of Chachamim, it means Perisha Filu Rabbi Kiva, even Rabbi Kiva would agree. Because Dila Rabbanan L'chudai, Rabbanan certainly would permit by Iria Okrin. Why did Rabbi Kiva, Rabbanan, why would they say only Okrin is allowed? Afilu Mekayim Namishari, they would even allow you to permit, to preserve the climb, they think it's permitted. Kavachomer, to hold it, to uproot it, is permitted. Elatana Okrin L'divrei Hakol, they're trying to prove that Afilu Rabbi Kiva, even Rabbi Kiva allows you to be Okrin. That's what's going on here. So the Gemara says, no, this is not only the Shita Rabbi Kiva, it may only be Lo Ha'mani Rabbanan. This is the Rabbanan here. Because since they allow Mekayim, certainly they allow Okrin. But we can't bring any proofs to Rabbi Akiva that he holds this way as well. So the Gemara says, E Rabbanan, if Rabbanan are the authors of this Braisa, my ear your Okrin. Why do they permit a Goy, and rather a Jew, to help an Akum to uproot the Kalayim? Afilu Kiyumanami Shapir Dami. They not only have to, as Okrin is allowed, but they can even let it be Mekayim. They can let the Kalayim stay in the ground. That's allowed. And so the Gemara says, Hach b'mayaskin, and what's the case here? Kigon deka avid bechinam, Rabbi Yehudahi, damar litein lehem mat neschinam aser. You're right. There's two Isserim going on here. There's one Isser of being Mekayim Kalayim, and there's one of doing a free service to a non-Jew. So in terms of lachas of Kalayim, you're right. The Rabbanan would say, not only can you be Okrin the Kalayim of the Goy, you can even let them sit. Just being Mekayim the Kalayim would be permitted. The Chiddush here is that even though normally you can't do a service for a Goy for free, that's an Isser Mat Neschin we saw in the earlier Masechas of Avodah Zarah. You can't give a free gift, you can't pay a free compliment, you can't do a free service for a Goy. So how could I now go ahead and pick up the roots of Okrin, the Kalayim of the non-Jewish property? That's Mat Neschinim. So here, when it comes to being Okrin, it's going to be permitted. This would be an exception. Here, even Rabbi Yehuda would normally say Matnas Chinam is Aser, but when it comes to be Okir Kalayim, since there's a certain goal of getting rid of any of the bad Kalayim in the world, in the land, that's a situation where Rabbi Yehuda would think that the Okrin Kalayim would be Doche, the Iser Matnas Chinam. So the Gemara says now, Midi Rabbi Yehuda, Nishvel Rabbi Akiva. We can now deduce something from Rabbi Huda Shita, and we can plug it into Rabbi Kiva. Meaning what? Lav Amar Rabbi Huda, do we not say in general that Rabbi Huda holds Asalitain Lehem Matnas Chinam? In general, you can't give free gifts, you can't give free services. Aval Mute Tifla Shapir Dami. But if there's an important goal, in order to destroy the climb, it's permitted. It's the same halacha that Ramban and other Rishonim talk about. How could you ever free an Eved Kanani for a minion? The Gemara in Bracha says that Meshachar Rabbi Elazar is Meshachar is Eved to make a minion. How could that be case? It's an Issa Deraisa of Liolam Behem Tavodu. You have to always enslave them. Liolam Behem Tavodu. How could you be Docha the Isser? They point out if there's a certain goal in mind, you could be Docha that Isser. You could be Docha that Isser in order to accomplish that. So here as well, the Ramban actually thinks that freeing an Eved Kanani is like Matnas Chinam. It's the same Isser Matnas Chinam. It's giving a free gift. But if there's a goal, you're trying to accomplish something to get a minion, it's allowed. So if there's a goal, I'm trying to get rid of the klayim, then it overrides the Isser Matnas Chinam. So just like Rabbi Yehuda allows the goal to override the Matnas Chinam, we can now plug back in Rabbi Akiva. Then we could say, Rabbi Akiva Nami Afogav, even though in general, Dama Rabbi Akiva Hamakayim Beklayim Loka, if you preserve klayim, you do get an Isser and you get Malkos. But if there's a certain goal in mind, l'me'ute tifla, if you're trying to get rid of all the klayim, then he would also say that is going to override the iser mekayim, and that shaper dami, v'sulo mide, nothing more to say on this point here. And even Rabbi Kiva could be the author of the brisa, that okrin imo, k'de l'me'ute esa tifla. Interesting closest to look at now, dear Rasul Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that omer afa mekayim. Perish Bekunsh, Rashi says, She'asa lehem siag v'geder bekotzim kedei l'kaimam. You built a fence around in order to preserve and to prevent the thorns from overgrowing and ruining it. You want to preserve it, you build a fence around it. So that's in a maisa. The Yafa Kivan Rashi is correct, says Tosos, Dehaba Perak Beis Demakos Mochiach. We prove there, Rabbi Kiva Islu Lav Shem Bamaisa Ein Lokin Lav. If there is no maisa, you don't get malkos. So the Gemara here says that there's malkos, must be there's a maisa as well here. So it has to be they built a fence. Udilok perish ha'arach, it can't be like the arach who says sheperish mekayim b'hanacha. You just let it be. You didn't do any maisa. The klayim ligada, you allowed the klayim to grow b'soch sadeo, and you get loka. That can't be the case. The arach thinks ve'islay lav shein b'maisa lokan alav. He thinks Rabbi Kiva holds even a lav shein b'maisa you get malkos, but that's not consistent with what the Gemara Mako says where Rabbi Kiva holds that lav shein b'maisa ain't lokan alav. And for that reason, Rashi says there has to be a building of a fence here. So now Tosa asks an interesting question now. Vim Tomar, Heyach, Takadaitech, Lochiach, Balakor. Actually, no, let's skip this. Fine. If you want to take a look at interesting Tosa here, it's a little bit involved. Let's go weiter. Gemara now says, Hadar Yasve, they now sat further and they asked another question. These different Amaram were sitting around. The Kamibari Le, they asked the following question. Dimei Avodos Kochavim, Beyad Oved Kochavim Mahu. Let's say you have Avodah Zara in the hands of a non Jew. What's the status? Mi tofeses dameh biyad oved kochavim olo. Does it retain its iser of the, let's say they sell it, and they have now dameh, the money, they sold avodah zarah, now they have the dameh of avodah zarah in their hand. Is that tofes the iser of avodah zarah? Or no, once they sold it off, that was an implied bittul. So what's the status of that money? So Amar Lehu Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman explained, Mistavra, it makes sense, dameh avodos kochavim biyad oved kochavim mutarim. Must be that it's mutter. Why? So they bring a proof from the following smaisa, midahanu odasu lakami diraba baravua. Those certain individuals, they were certain goyim who went to Rabba Baravua. Amalu, he said to them, zil zvine komad islachu, go sell all your property including your avodah zarah, v'su isgairu, and then afterwards convert. So these were individuals who wanted to convert. So he said, before converting, first sell all your property away. My time, what's the reason? Mishum de kasavar dimei avodas kochavim biyad ovid kochavim mutar. Because they sold their avodah zarah, and now the money that they made from it is only dimei avodah zarah. And dimei avodah zarah is permitted, and then convert. Because if they first convert, and then they sell their avodah zarah as a yid, it is tofes damav. So first sell it when you're a non-Jew. This way your money will be mutter, and then you should convert after the point. So that's the raya that it works. That's at least a raya from a story. What's the logic? Why is it, what's the svar that it does work? So if you look at Tosafot Dimaskel Mistavra, Mistavra Dimei Avodas Kochavim Biyad Oved Kochav Mutarim, the Niratam, the explanation is, Kimash Avodas Kochavim Tofes Dimei, in general, for a Jew, when we sell Avodah Zarah, why is the money that we make off the selling of Avodah Zarah still retaining the Isser? Mishum Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayisi Cherem Kamo, that the cherem, it's always a cherem, it's always aser, meaning kol shata mahaya mimanu kamahu. Anything that is a result of the avodah zarah, any revenue from the avodah zarah, is still cherem. But that Tosfos points out is Ubi Yisrael Dafka Nemar. This pasuk's in the context of a Yid, is talking to a Yid to the exclusion of Lo Livnei Noach. It's not permitted for, rather it doesn't apply to Ben Noach. That's why Ben Noach, who sells it, that's the explanation. He sells Avodah Zarah. It's not Tofes Dameh. The Tosfos asks the question, V'hadas, Rinan Le'el Beperakam Adaf Yud Beis, Dameh Avodah Zachavim. Then we have an example where a guy sold Avodah Zarah and the damim was aser. Hainu kishadaitu liknos min adamim avodah zchachavim. That's where he wanted to use the proceeds to buy another Avodah Zarah. But if it's a person who's trying to get rid of his Avodah Zarah, a guy trying to get rid of the Avodah Zarah, then in fact the money would be mutter. So that's the raya, that money, again, dmei avodah zchachavim, biyad oved kochavim is mutter. Gemara says, don't bring me a ride from the case of the people trying to convert. Dilma, back to the Gemara now. Dilma, shiny hasam, they came into daitel le'agure, father betela. That situation was, their intent was to megayer. So selling alone isn't enough. They were actually mevatel le'avodah zarah. So they weren't selling avodah zarah. They were selling just sticks and stones. So that's not a raya that demei avodah shochavim is mutter. Ella mehacha. From the following case, Yisrael shaya nosha be'ovet kochavim aneh, a yid who has owed money from a guy, umachar avodas kochavim, hevi lo yai nesach, hevi lo. So he sells avodah zarah, he gives the money to the Jew, yai nesach, hevi lo, mutter. He sells whatever he sells the non-Jew, that money is permitted to the Jew. Then he pays it, so we see from there, that rai, before we get to the rest of the braisa, that dmei avodas kochavim biyad oved kochavim is actually mutter, and the yid could get hana from it. If he says to you explicitly, wait, I'm going to sell my avodah zarah to pay you back, or he says, yai nesach vavilacha asr. If he says, wait for me while I go sell my yai nesach or sell my avodah zarah, then if it's that explicit, then he can't get hana. But a stam case where he has money, proceeds, revenue from selling avodah zarah or yai nesach, a Jew can get hana from them.
What was he doing?
He was owed money. I'm a bank. You owe me $100. So he wanted to pay me back. So he sold his avodah zarah and paid me back with the money. So then the Gemara says, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seif. What's the difference between the Reisha where it's permitted to get Hana and the Seifa where it's also to get Hana? So Amarav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes explains Seifa Mishim Dehavale Ki Rotei Bikuma. Because there, the Yid, since the Yid heard that the non-Jew selling his Yai Nesach, the Yid's thinking, I don't want him to break the Yai Nesach, I don't want him to break the Avodah Zarah, I want him to hold on to it, I want it to be Rotei Bikuma until he sells it to pay me back. So since it's Rotei Bikuma, it's going to be Aser. But a Stam case, though, of Dmei, Avodah Tzuchavim Beyad Oved Kochavim, is actually going to be Mutter. Gemara now says here, there's an interesting Tosfos I'm not going to read through, but Tosfos Dimaskel V'Dilma, he talks about how Yai Nesach, there is no Bittel by Yai Nesach. While Bittel does work by Avodah Zarah, Bittel doesn't work by Yai Nesach, so he tries to figure out here what the connection between Yai Nesach and Avodah Zarah is. It's a little hard to understand what he means here, but it seems to be a very, very important Tosfos anyways. The Gemara now asks, V'chi wrote to Bikumo, Ki Agavna Mi'aser. So let's say he once wrote to Bikumo. The guy wants he doesn't want the Yai Nesach or the Avodah Zarah to break until the guy sells it so he can get the money. Since that's Rotei Bikuma, we said it's usher in that situation to take the Dmei Avodah Zarah, the Dmei and Yai Nesach. So Gemara says, is that really usher? We have a Mishnah, Maseches Dmei, that tells us, Ger v'Oved Kochavim Sheyarshu Avien, so a Ger and Oved Kochavim, they're brothers, but one of them converted to Judaism. So now the two of them are brothers, their father, the non-Jewish father died. Sheyarshu Avien, Oved Kochavim, so they now part of the Yerusha, some Avodah Zarah. So what happens? Obviously the Ger doesn't want the idols. So Ger Yachalomar lo, he could tell his brother, the non-Jew, Tolata Avodah Zarah, Bani Mos, you take the idols, I'll take the money. Talata Yai Nesach, you take all that Yai Nesach, Vani Peros, I'll take the fruit. In Mishabol Lerishus Hager. However, let's say they first split everything up, and then as he's going through the boxes, he sees, he gets like room, he gets everything in the attic. He goes to the attic and he finds there's some idols up there. So now once he already took ownership of it, so the lacha is Aser. At that point, the Ger cannot get Hana from it. So this is a situation, Rotei Bikuma, meaning when he tells his non-Jewish brother, you take the Yai Nesach, you take Avodah Zarah, he doesn't want it to break, because if it breaks, then he's got to split the payros, he's got to split the other stuff. So he is Rotei Bikuma for the Avodah Zarah, yet we see it's still permitted for him to take the payros and the mos that are kinega the Avodah Zarah or Yai Nesach that his brother, in fact, is taking. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Rava, Bar Ula Masnisin Ba'avodos Kochavim Hamishalekas Lefi Shvareha. So the Mishnah is talking of a situation where he doesn't care for breaks, actually. They're dividing up broken pieces of the Avodah Zarah. Rashi explains here, Lefi Shvareha Shel Zav or Shel Kesef, broken gold or silver idols, Shim Tishaber Yichalku L'Shvarim. If it breaks up, he doesn't really care. I mean, Delo Echpas L'Ger B'Shvirasa. He doesn't care for breaks. He doesn't mind if it gets destroyed, because then the gold and silver is worth something as well. It doesn't make a difference to him. So it's not really Rotzi B'Kumo. But normally, if the Jew is Rotzi B'Kumo, so then it would be also to get Hana. But this is an example where he's not Rotzi B'Kumo of the Avodah Zarah, because you could still make money, the brother could still make money, if it breaks off the broken gold and silver. So the Gemara says, this all makes sense, Tenach, five lines up, Avodah Shachavim, that if the Avodah Zarah breaks, so you could still sell the gold and silver. Yai Nesach Ma'ikul Meimar. But if the wine breaks, there's no shvarev. There's no wine to make. It's in the ground and it's lost. So he does wrote to Bikum of the Yai Nesach. So Gemara says we're talking about a very specific case here, Becheres Hadrain. If you remember from that Mishnah earlier in the Masechta, that they had these earthenware kalim that absorb the Yai Nesach within it. If you soak it in water, that wine would come out. So there is actually a wine that's embedded in these walls that's actually worth something. So even though they have these Klicheres that have no, it's empty. The wine is, the bottles are empty. But the Klicheres are absorbed with wine. Even though it breaks, you still have the wine embedded in there that you're able to extract. So he doesn't mind if it breaks. So then the Gemara says, but still, even though he doesn't care if the actual items break or don't break, Halo Rotzi B'Kumo, he does want it to stay intact, not physically intact, if it's staying whole or broken, but Shelo Yignovu Shel Yovdu. He doesn't want them to be stolen or lost. That's also Rotzi B'Kumo. So the Ger does want the Avodah Zarah and Yai Nesach to be Rotzi B'Kumo, not that it breaks or not, but that it doesn't get stolen or lost. Because if it does, then he has to pay out of pocket the Peros or Maos and split it with his brother. So Ella, the Gemara says, Amra Papa, last two lines of the page, Yerushas Hager Kamris Shiny. Yerushas Hager Da'akili Be'erabanan Gezer Hashem Yichazu Le'kukula. You're right. In general, Rotzi B'Kumo would be Aser. But this is an example that even though he's Rotzi B'Kumo, if he finds out that he's going to lose money, the Yerusha of his father, because he's Jewish now, it might turn to go back to Avodah Zarah. We don't want that to happen, Chas V'Shalom, so therefore we're more makel when it comes to the Yerushas Hager. A number of interesting things come out of here. Number one is we see from here that the concept of Rotzi B'Kumo is only an Isser Midirabanan, because had it been an Isser Midiraisa, we can't be Makel for Yerushas Hager. That's number one. Number two is we also see from here that Yerushas Hager is also only an Isser Midirabanan. These two points, Yerushas Hager is Dirabanan, and so too Rotzi B'Kumo is a Dirabanan. Now the reason why Yerushas Hager is Dirabanan is because since the Ger is Kikatan Shinola Dami, he's now reborn into a new family. He has no shaychas anymore to his father, so his ability to be yorish is only in a mitzvah, is only a concept derabanan. Okay. Now there is an interesting question the Achronim ask here. The Rashba Nedarim tells us that a person is not able to be yorish iser hana. Iser hana doesn't work. So how come we could say in this situation here that the children are being yorish, the Avodah Zarah, isn't Avodah Zarah considered something that's aser? So they end up explaining that they have to get around this. That really, Yerusha, you can be. You can't be Zoche in Isra Na, but you can be Yorish. Because Zoche is a Maisa, you've done a Maisa Kinnan. A Maisa Kinnan doesn't work on an Isra Na. Yerusha, which comes Mimela, just comes against the person's will. It just happens. A person dies, the children are Yorishim. That actually does work on Isra Hana. Okay, the Gemara now says on the top of Amud Beis. Tani Nami Hachi, the Bryce says the same idea here. Bamed Vemamur, when is this all true? Sheyarshu, when they inherited it, so that's when the ger could say to his brother, you take that, I'll take this, and you split everything up. Aval nishtatu, if they split everything up, and then the ger finds that there's a avodah zarah in his chelek, then it's aser, he can't do anything with this, he needs to get rid of it. How the yasra, the gemara then said, they asked the third question, these different amarim, they're sitting down, the kamibari lehu, they asked the ger toshav mahu shevatel avodos kochavim. Can a ger toshev be mevatel avodah zarah? Now, a ger toshev is a non-Jew. Rashi explains here, we're going to see in just a moment a definition, but just at least for now, Rashi says, top line here, ger toshev is an eino oved avodah kochavim. He doesn't worship avodah zarah. Ubar minei sha'oved kochavim hu. He is a non-Jew, b'chol shar averos. With regards to all other yisurim, he's like a non-Jew. He just took upon himself not to do avodah zarah. So can a ger toshev, we know what an oved kochavim can be mevatel avodah zarah, but what about ger toshav? So what's the suffix? So the Gemara explains, ma'ushi vatel avodah kochavim. Do we say depalach maftil, delo palach lamaftil? One who worships has the ability to uproot it, The one who doesn't worship, he has no shaychus to it, so he can't be mevatel. So maybe a ger toshav shouldn't be able to be mevatel. Now, Dilmar, perhaps we could say, kol davar, kol debar minei, anyone who is that same breed, mevatel, the high bar minei, who in a ger toshav, he is an oved kochavim, he's a non-Jew, and does have the ability. So the Gemara explains, Amr lehu, Rav Nachman, mistaver, it makes sense, depalach mavtil, delo palach lo mavtil. He thinks it makes sense that one who worships has the ability to be mevatel, one who doesn't worship does not have the ability to be mevatel. Now it's interesting when the Rambam brings down the halacha, he writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that he doesn't mention anything about being mekabel not to do Avodah Zarah. We'll see in a moment a ger toshav has to do a certain kabbalah, mekabel himself not to do Avodah Zarah. Rambam simply says a goy who doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, he does not have the ability to be mevatel. He doesn't say anything about being mekabel. He just says one whose practice is not to do Avodah Zarah, he can't be mevatel. So he say that you don't need a kabbalah according to the Rambam, and that's the Ramah as well. Ramah writes that the Yishmaelim who don't worship Avodah Zarah, even though they never made a kabbalah, that's just who they are. Yishmaelim don't do Avodah Zarah, they are not able to be mevatel Avodah Zarah. Only a person who made a kabbalah has the ability. Even if you don't make the, only one who worships Avodah Zarah befoel has the ability to mevatel. One who doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, even without the Kabbalah, cannot be mevatel Avodah Zarah. The Yisrael, we said, cannot be mevatel Avodah Zarah. That's what the Mishnah said. Then now the Chassam Sofer says it really depends on the nation. The Rashba says, Rashba argues, Rashba says no. If a guy was not makabel, he in theory would do Avodah Zarah, but he hasn't. He just doesn't do it. That's not enough. He would be able to be mevatel. Even though he doesn't do Avodah Zarah, if there was never a Kabbalah, he still has the ability to be mevatel Avodah Zarah against the Ramah and against the Rambam. The Chassam Sofer is mechalik between different types of umos. He says, if it's a nation, an entire nation that doesn't do Avodah Zarah, like the Yishmaelim, even though there's never a formal Kabbalah, they, as a nation, since they don't do Avodah Zarah, they are not able to be mevatel. But if a particular, let's say a nation that does do Avodah Zarah, but a certain yachid from that nation doesn't himself do Avodah Zarah, he is a nimshach achar the umma. And since as a nation he's part of the Christians, let's say, who do Avodah Zarah, even though this one particularly doesn't, he is bichlal the Christians, and he would be considered Avodah Zarah, and would be able to be mevatel the Avodah Zarah. The Gemara now says, six lines down from the top here, Meisive. Yisrael shematza avodas kochavim b'shuk. Let's say a Jew finds an idol that's a hefker in the shuk. So the halacha is, ad shlo basal yado, before he actually takes possession of it, he could omer, he could see a non-Jew passing by, omer l'ovid kochavim, he says to a non-Jew, u'mevatle, he asks him to be mevatel the idol. Mishabasal yado, if he already takes possession of the idol, eino omer l'ovid kochavim mevatle, he's not able to anymore ask a non-Jew to be mevatel, because now it's owned by Yid. Mipnei she'amru, because it said, Ovid kochavim mevatel avodas kochavim shalov v'shel chaveiro. Non-Jew can mevatel not only his own avodah zarah, but his friend's avodah zarah as well. And bein ovda, bein shel ovda. Whether he works or doesn't serve, whether he serves or doesn't serve. So what does it mean, my ovda, my she'ino ovda? What does it mean, whether he serves or doesn't serve? Ilema means, idi v'idi ovid kochavim. Both cases are talking about a non-Jew. Hainu shelov v'shel chaveiro. Meaning if he's talking about one that I worshipped and one my friend worshipped that I didn't worship, he has the ability to mevatel my ovda versus his, which I wasn't ovda. Well, that's the same thing as shalov v'chashel chaveiro. El alav, does it not mean ovda is ovid kochavim, and it's one who actually worships avodah zarah, umay she'ino ovda, ger toshev, who doesn't do. Meaning even a ger toshev who's called an eino ovda, a non-worshipper, he also has the ability to be mevatel. So there's a raya that he can be mevatel. Even though we said above, only one, the palach mevatel, the lo palach lo mevatel, only those who worship have the ability. Here we see even a ger toshev who doesn't worship avodah zarah, yet still has the ability to mevatel. Shema mina, we learn from here, ger toshev nami mevatel. Of course it's low. Not a raya. Both people are talking about an Ovid Kochavim. We're talking about Ovid, whether I worship it or I don't worship it. Isn't that mine versus my friends? What's the difference of Shalom Shel Chaveiro and Ovdo with Shalom Ovdo? So the Gemara explains, Reisha Zev Vizel Lepor. So Reuven and Shimon are both non-Jews, and they both worship the same Avodah Zarah. So Reuven could be mevatel his own Markolus and his friend's Markolus, or Reuven can mevatel his own Po'or and his friend's Po'or. That's stage one. That's Shelov v'Shechavero. The Seif is Zele Po'or, Zele Markolus. They had different Avodah Zarahs. I mean, Reuven worships Po'or, nothing to do with Markolus. His friend Shimon does Markolus. So maybe Shimon, maybe Reuven doesn't have the ability to be mevatel Shimon's different type of Avodah Zarah, Kamash Milan, that you can be mevatel Shimon's Avodah Zarah. Even though it's not your Avodah Zarah, you do Po'or, he does Markolus, that also works as well, but nothing to do at all with the Ger Toshach. Gemara now says halfway down the Amud here, Meisive. What's a Ger Toshach? They accept in front of three people. Rabbi Meir holds it's a person, a non-Jew, who takes upon himself not to do any Avodah Zarah. That the seven mitzvahs he has to be makabel on himself. And they talk about why you need a Kabbalah. They already are chayv to keep it. There's no need for a Kabbalah. So they point out that apparently Moshe Rabbeinu instituted that even though they do have to keep the seven mitzvahs, there should have been they should each have a formal Kabbalah in their lives to accept all seven mitzvahs. So Rabbi Meir holds, it's Davka Avodah Zarah. Chacham holds, it's all seven mitzvahs. Achem omrim, Elu lobo klal Ger Toshav. These are not examples of ones who become a Ger Toshav. They're considered a full bona fide guy. Ella, Ezu Ger Toshav, according to the Acherim, Ze Ger Ochel Nevelos, Shekiba Lav the Kaim, Kol Mitzvah Amoris Matorah, Chutz Me Isser Nevelos. That a Ger Toshav is one who accepts upon himself the entire Torah, all 613 mitzvahs minus one, namely, he eats Nevelos. So this is a three way machlokas. Now the machlokas is relevant, Rashi and Tosafot point out, with respect to whether you have to help be mechayasot, to help bring them alive, to give them food and sustenance. Meaning certainly a Jew you have to help keep alive, a non-Jew we don't have to keep alive, a Ger Toshav though, we do have to hachayosot, we have to help keep and sustain him. So what's a Ger Toshav regarding this halacha? So that's the three-way machlokas. Look for a second at Tosus Dibur Masach L'Acherim. Normally the Acherim in the Gemara in Horios, I think it is, tells us the Acherim. Who's Acherim? Mm-hmm. Acherim is Rabbi Meir. But here Rashi Tosus points out, Al-Karachach Acherim Dehacha Lav Hayinu Rabbi Meir. Can't be Rabbi Meir in this instance. Deha Paligale. Rabbi Meir was the first Shita in this Brisa, so it must be someone else. V'chein Matzina B'kama Makomos Acherim B'machlokas Eitzah Rabbi Meir V'yesh Omrim Eitzah Rabbi Nassan. So it's not always, even though there's a Klarach Acherim is Rabbi Meir and the Yesh Omrim Rabbi Nassan, there are many exceptions. The Tosus asks, you just go one more Tosus, then we'll go finish the Gemara here. The Ezu Ger Toshav, who's a Ger Toshav? V'maskana kamar dehainu lachayos. Like I said before, who's a Ger Toshav that you have a requirement to help sustain, help keep alive? Im Tomar. Tosus. Tosus Ezu Ger Toshav. So Tosus asks, V'im Tomar, v'alo miyad shavar sheva mitzvahs b'nei chayav misa. Once he violates the Isser, he's chayav das haras b'nei noach, he misal son below edim basra. You don't need an edim, you don't need asra, so they're going to die right away for violating any of the averos. V'yesh lomar, d'chozman shlo danu bezdin, ein chayav misa. If they weren't brought to bezdin, even though they may have violated avodah zarah their entire life, they don't get killed until you actually bring them to bezdin. So we're talking about a situation where they weren't brought to Beis Din, and now they accepted upon themselves to not do Avodah Zarah anymore. So now the Gemara says, back to the Braisa. The Gemara says, we have three-way machlokas, what's the definition of a Ger Toshav? So the Gemara says, now what's the halacha? The Gemara says, meyachdin etzlan etzal yayin. You're able to meyached, you could leave wine for them for a short period of time, but a mafkidin etzlo yayin, but you can't leave it over for a long period of time. Mafkid is for a long period of time, meyached is for a short period of time, Rashi points out. So meyachdin is permitted, but mafkidin is aser. V'afilu be'er sheruba yisrael, even if you give him a mafkid to watch, and they live in a city of mostly Jews, still it's aser to leave wine with them for a long period of time. Aval miyachten et slo yayin, you can leave them wine for a short period of time. Va'afilu be'er sheruba over the kochavim. Even if most people in the city are non-Jews and they're not concerned that a Jew might walk in and see what they're doing, still, since it's only a short period of time, they're scared that the Jewish owner of the wine might walk in and catch him doing some yayin nesach. So that's the basic yisod of these Ger Toshavs. So the Gemara says, now, Shemeno Kiyeno, their oil of the Ger Toshav is like the wine. Versus oil is like the wine that the Havamina is, that Yai Nesach is Asr Banah, so too the Shemen should be Asr Banah. Gemara says, Shemeno Kiyeno Sakadaitach, you would think the oil should be Asr like the wine? Shemen mi Kahava and Yai Nesach? Do they use oil to pour as Yai Nesach? Certainly not. Ella, they adjust it and say, Yeno Kishmano, the wine is Mutter Banah like the oil is mutter ba'ana. So l'shar kol davar, with respect to all other halachas, have a harehu k'oved kochavim. So the question becomes now, what's going to be kol shar kol davar harehu k'oved kochavim? With regards to every halacha, the ger toshiv is just like a non-Jew. So we'll see what that means in just a moment. And just to finish off the braisa, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Shimon Omer, yeno yai nesach. Their wine of the ger toshiv is mamish like a yai nesach. Amila, but others argue and say mutter b'shtia. Others say their wine is actually permitted in drinking. So there's a whole range here with regards to the yain. But ketanim mia, our concern we're pulling out from this braisa, u'lashar kol divarava harehu k'oved kochavim. With respect to all other halachas, a ger toshiv is mamish like a goat. In regards to what's my hilchasa, which shar halachas is it like a guy? Lav de mevata avodat kochavim k'oved kochavim. Is it not to teach me the halacha, just like a guy can be mevatel and oved kochavim, avodat kochavim, so too, a getoshev can be mevatel avodat kochavim. And that's against above what we had said. Above we said only those who worship can be mevatel, those who don't worship can be mevatel. So above we said a ger toshev can't be mevatel. But here we're learning that a ger toshev is like a guy, that he can be mevatel. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the halacha that's equal to a goy regarding other halachas. It's really a different halacha. Meaning, Amr Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, lo. The equation of a ger toshev to a goy is not with regards to the mevata of Odeh Zarah. It's with regards to a building of an Erev. What's the halacha? Litein rishus levata rishus. To give rishus, to mevata rishus. The way it works is when a person builds an Erev Chatzeris. If you and I have our partners in a property, if we want to carry there, even though we built an Erev, we also have to have partnered ownership. So we put money towards a matzah, and we have the matzah, and that matzah represents that we're considered one unit of this chatzer. And that applies to an entire community as well. The shuls pay money towards the matzah, and the matzah is a way of bridging everyone together as one ownership. So what happens, let's say, if a non-Jew who lives there. Now, if a non-Jew lives there, he's going to his chelik won't be part of it. So the halacha is that you have to rent the space, you have to pay money to the non-Jew in order to have full ownership of that chatzer, of that community. So what about a ger toshev? So the Gemara explains now. Kidatanya, Yisrael mumar mishamer shabaso b'shuk b'vata v'shus. If a Yisrael mumar, it's not a new thing now, but they had plenty of people back then who didn't keep Shabbos. So he was off the derech, but in public he had respect for his parents, he had respect to the community, and in public he would keep Shabbos. It was only in the privacy of his own home, but tzina, he wouldn't keep Shabbos. So as long as b'farhesya, he was keeping Shabbos, you can't be mevatos v'shus and say like any other Jew, and everyone becomes b'chlal, the chatzer. But if he's not, she'enu m'shamer Shabbos b'shuk, if he's not keeping Shabbos in the public, so then he's considered mamish like a goy, and ein mevatos v'shus, and you can't be mevatos v'shus, you have to rent, you have to pay money to lease the rights from him to be mevatel his v'shus. Because it said, Yisrael no sein rishus mevata rishus. A yid could say, my property is all mine, or yours. He can mevata rishus to the rest of the community. But a oved kochavim ad she yischar, the oved kochavim doesn't give up his rights until he actually, the Jews pay him for the rights for his property. Katan, how does that work? How does it work for the yid who wants to give up his property? Omer lo, he says, rishusi kenuy lecha, rishusi mevutalach lecha, kana, it works vein tzarech lezakos. Simply by the Jew saying, my property is part of the community, you don't need to make an actual formal kinyan, that's enough to be mevatel rishus. But when it comes to ovei kachavim, and it comes to also now a ger toshav, you have to actually rent the space from them to be part of it. Now this is very important halacha lemaisa. Nowadays we don't rent the space from any of the non-Jews. How does that work exactly? So the poskim said the reason why we said we want to rent the space for the non-Jews, we're trying to deter the non-Jews from living in our community. So listen, you want to be part of our area, we need to rent space from you. Now they're going to make money, but they're going to feel very unwelcomed here, that they're very different than the rest of us, that we're trying to buy their property from them. We're hoping that it's going to deter them from living and to move out of the place. They point out nowadays that's not going to really work. They're not going to move out just because we paid them some money. So nowadays some point out that we don't have to hire the space from them anymore. But just because this was the practice for many, many years, we should continue to do so. And if you come to a situation where you're not able to, they won't take money from you for the Erev, it's fine anyways. Chassam Sofer was very, very against this. He says, not true. Even though you're right, the reason doesn't make sense anymore. No non-Jew is going to move out because you paid him some money anymore. Still, this is a gzera we've had for many, many generations, and we can't be mevatel the gzera. So if the non-Jew is not willing to accept the money, to be part of the community, you can't build an Erev around it. So how do they do this Lamaisa? There's a lot of big discussion in the postgim. So you could go to the mayor. They say if you pay money to the mayor, he has the rights of the entire community. And he says he is really the one overseeing everything. So he says then, now this is one community, he owns everything. Some people say you have to go to the military, the police, the different, depending how different governments are built, whoever has really full control of that community, he's the person you should be paying money to ask for rights of the community in order to build an Erev Chatzeres. Right. What about